Richard Green says he got ripped off. It all started with a pain in his shoulder.
I had a problem with my shoulders, and it turned out to be a rotator cuff problem, which is a kind of a difficult surgery. And I'd had a good recommendation from a friend of mine that had that same surgery done by a surgeon up in Littleton, New Hampshire. I went to him without question. I thought it was the best thing to do.
Medically, he was right. A year after surgery, Richard says his injured shoulder is in better shape than his other shoulder. But financially, he was wrong. Once Medicare settled its portion of the bill, it notified Richard how much he owed.
Based on what they paid, I didn't understand why I would owe so much. They showed that I owed $3,900.
Seemed like a mistake, but it wasn't. It turns out Richard was not only on the hook for that bill, but that he was sort of a cog in a machine designed by Congress to prop up rural hospitals with extra cash.
There certainly is a difficulty in getting the answers on this.
Here's how a payment normally works. The hospital sends a big bill to Medicare. Medicare then says, we're going to pay this smaller number. Medicare then pays the hospital 80% of the small number, and the Medicare patient pays 20%. Well, Richard's bill was way more than 20% of the small number. Why? Turns out Littleton is what Medicare calls a critical access hospital, one that provides critical healthcare access for rural Americans. There are perks. These hospitals are exempt from certain fines, and they get more generous reimbursements from Medicare. So, and here comes the important part, in Richard's scenario as an outpatient, Medicare pays 80% of that small number, but then it makes Richard pay 20% of the big number. If he had gone to a more urban hospital with the same list price for rotator cuff surgery, his out-of-pocket costs would be about $1,000, or 75% less.
When you're on Medicare, you typically expect that Medicare is going to protect you from these outrageous list prices that hospitals charge. I mean, nobody pays those things, supposedly.
I called around to a lot of health economists who study Medicare and rural hospitals. Most were kind of flabbergasted by this.
This example here is just, outrageous.
That strikes me as that your person has a real complaint.
Here's why this happens. Back in the early 80s, Medicare changed the way it paid hospitals. Instead of paying what the hospital billed, Medicare started paying what it felt was a fair price. That's the difference between that big and small number. But Medicare's new payment scheme hurt small rural hospitals. Michael Roscoe, a professor at Widener University in Pennsylvania, says hundreds closed their doors.
And the problem with a rural hospital closing is that the next nearest hospital might not be very close. So this really creates a severe access problem. So Medicare felt it was necessary to prop up these failing rural hospitals. So they went backwards.
Backwards meaning Medicare decided to pay critical access hospitals what the hospital wanted rather than what Medicare wanted. And that wasn't the only change. Over time, the feds allowed states to designate critical access hospitals and under looser rules. Robert Berenson is a physician and fellow at the Urban Institute.
There's been just a huge proliferation of hospitals that have gotten themselves designated as critical access hospitals. You know, there's sort of this concern about keeping these hospitals alive. They do have a lot of benefits that help them financially. And yet there are critical access hospitals that go out of business.
Right now, half the hospitals in New Hampshire are critical access hospitals. And that's a lot. Only 12 states have a higher percentage. Now, here's what's really strange about Richard's situation. This type of bloated charge he paid for his surgery, that's illegal in the private insurance market in New Hampshire and 48 other states. That means the federal government is dispensing payments to retirees that states say are unfair. And no one ever told Richard Green he'd be charged differently than a traditional Medicare beneficiary. Not the hospital, not Medicare. When you ask people about this issue, everyone seems to agree it's an unintended consequence of the law that created these hospitals. But it remains an obscure problem. Andy Coburn is a professor at the University of Southern Maine.
Well, I guess I would put the onus back on the critical access hospital to be disclosive you would hope that there would be that kind of transparency on the part of the hospital with the patients that they're serving.
So the economist blames the hospital. And who does the hospital blame?
We do what Medicare tells us to do and what we're required to do.
Nick Brachino is the chief financial officer at Littleton Hospital, where Richard Green had his surgery. Brachino points out it's not a picnic being a critical access hospital. They have to take Medicaid patients, which means they get much less revenue, and they can't grow past 25 beds. He says they need those bigger payments. Perhaps, but there's also research suggesting those bigger payments lead to inefficiency. Either way, he says it would be risky for hospitals like Littleton to spell all this out to a patient like Richard Green.
Any one hospital that becomes totally transparent does have that problem that if they're the first one and the information is misunderstood, it has a very negative impact on them.
And so the hospital blames Medicare. And who does Medicare blame? In a statement, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says they are open to hearing from beneficiaries, but ultimately, it will take an act of Congress to fix this rule. Actually, a recent report from the Office of the Inspector General backs this up. The offices of both New Hampshire U.S. senators say they are aware of this problem. In a statement, Kelly Ayotte says patients of critical access hospitals deserve to know upfront how much they'll pay for services. And last year, Gene Shaheen was one of a group of four senators from both parties who wrote a letter to the Government Accountability Office asking for a report on this issue. That report is due out any day now. Most Medicare beneficiaries have a backup insurance policy that makes up the difference on these high charges. But in New Hampshire, about 26,000 people on Medicare don't have backup insurance. Those are the folks this impacts. And Richard Green says those people better stay on their toes because those in the position to help have little incentive to do so.
It would be pretty embarrassing to Medicare to have this widely known. And I think it would hurt the hospitals because people would stop going to them. So there's two separate reasons that this isn't getting out, besides the fact that people just can't figure it out.
So in case you want to know, head on over to our website to find a list of critical access hospitals in New Hampshire and the rest of the country. For NHPR News, I'm Jack Rodolico.